This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We are going to have such a great final hour. We'll talk again about how the communists, they see the legitimacy, the trust of institutions as permanent, and they treat it as permanent, and it fails them time and time again. There's a wonderful, heartwarming tale about Disney and California. Yes, we'll get into some of this ridiculous stuff the Seattle mayor said, slaughtering your relatives in order to remain king, all that, emails, and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, there's this wonderful story out. Disney used to be a wonderful American company, an American institution, designed for not just entertainment for families, for children, but remember that entertainment is incredibly important to push values out to a society and has always been viewed in that way. What's half the point of Greek plays and Roman plays? Why were they doing that? Well, there were lessons in there. Greek mythology itself. Lessons in there. Don't fly too close to the sun. Lessons in there they're trying to teach. Culture teaches lessons. I've told you before that I can look back now at the age of 44 and I can see that some of my outlook on life, for better or worse, was taught to me by John Wayne movies. I think if you're being honest with yourself and you look back at your childhood and the books you read and the movies you watch and stuff like that, you'll see it did affect you. It affected me. So Disney, of course, eventually was given to the communists. The Rockefellers, the Disney family after family, the Ford family, over and over and over again, you have these American families where the guy was a giant, a lion who built this great American institution, and eventually the lion will have a brood, the lion will have heirs who are dirty, disgusting, America-hating communists who will use the fortune against the country, and that, of course, is the Disney family. Now you can walk your daughter into the store in Disney World, Florida, and there'll be a dude with a beard dressed up like a princess pretending to be a woman trying to sell her little princess slippers. But the communist made a mistake with Disney, the same mistake he's made over and over and over again, a mistake we've talked about many times before. The power of an institution is the trust the people have in it. The power of the institution is the trust the people have in it. That is the source of its power. If I have to have brain surgery tomorrow and I meet the doctor and the doctor has a Johns Hopkins degree hanging, framed over his desk, that, even though I'm not smart enough to have ever sniffed Johns Hopkins, that's something that for many people, that would have an impact on them. Oh my gosh, this guy clearly knows his stuff. I mean, my goodness, the Johns Hopkins, plus he's wearing a white lab coat. This guy must know some stuff about brain surgery. But if Johns Hopkins, over the years, decides to start running all the Asians off of campus and fill up the whole place with people who aren't qualified to be there, and they start pushing DEI communist filth, and morons start graduating from Johns Hopkins who screw up brain surgeries over and over and over again, and people are dying on the operating table by a DEI doctor who went to Johns Hopkins, what will happen over the years is people will stop trusting that degree from Johns Hopkins, and Johns Hopkins will lose its power. Because the people's trust is gone. This happens in all kinds of institutions. Communists will take over a respected, wonderful institution, and they will treat the power of the institution as if it is permanent. and they'll lie and they'll cheat and they'll steal and they'll do terrible things with the power of the institution. And then they'll look around and marvel at that trust being gone, at that power being gone. Disney keeps making flops in the box office. They keep making flops because families who take their children to Disney movies want to see movies where about right and wrong, good guys versus bad guys, you know, standard stories for children. Instead, Disney movies are a bunch of nothing matters, lesbian garbage, and nobody wants to take Aiden, Jaden, and Brayden to the movies and drop $100 on popcorn and tickets to get that kind of dirty commie filth poured into their eyes and ears of their children so people aren't going. Now, what to do if you're Disney? No one likes our new lesbian cartoon. What do you do? Well, you just go back to old institutions people do trust, like Snow White. Watched it when I was a child. It's older than I am. Hey, they don't like the movies we're currently making. Let's make Snow White again. It'll be one of those live action movies. Let's make Snow White again. Okay? Sounds good. The people will trust it. Let's get a bunch of man-hating feminist Nazis and let's make them the voices of this film. Then they're out there every day. It's all on audio. Well, she's not going to be saved by the prince. This isn't the normal story. Clearly expressing nothing but disdain for the original story. Using the institution of Snow White to push your disgusting commie goals. And the result is Disney loses $170 million. With woke Snow White live action flop. Time and time and time again, the communists have made and will continue to make this same mistake. They want to take trusted institutions. Maybe it's the FBI. Maybe it's Snow White. Maybe it's Johns Hopkins. They want to take a trusted institution, conquer it, and then use that institution for the revolution. And they always, always seem shocked when the institution itself loses power because they don't understand this fundamental thing. As much as they understand human nature, they've never been able to get this. Institutional trust is the power of the institution. I brought up the FBI. The FBI. The FBI under Joe Biden, well, it was always pretty evil, but under Joe Biden, it became something that should be eliminated entirely. There should not be an FBI. It's moderately better now, but it should still be eliminated completely. It cannot be salvaged. It's an evil secret state police agency designed to destroy the freedom of American citizens and push and protect the communist revolution. As soon as it came out that the FBI hid Hunter Biden's laptop and then told Facebook to censor the story, that day, boom, gone. Doors shut, everybody fired immediately, forever. Once an organization becomes that evil, it cannot be saved. That aside, those evil communist FBI agents, they worked very hard. They got those FBI badges, rose through the ranks of the FBI, and they did the same thing communists always do. They used the institution to push the revolution. And now, go look at the FBI approval ratings over the years. When I was a child, this was an organization with 80, 90% approval of the American public. When the American citizen heard FBI, they thought, oh, wow, those must be the best of the best, right? Every local cop's laughing right now, but that's what the American public thought. Now, look at it. Half the public rolls their eyes and sneers. Oh, those dirty commie savages. That's a fact. All right. Maybe some emails. We'll talk again about being trapped, though. There is a reason the communist doesn't change. He is, in a way, trapped. We'll talk about that in a moment. You perhaps think you are trapped and doomed. You're trapped with low energy. It's just part of getting older, right? Your brain's just going to be foggy now. Senior moment. I forget things. It's not true. Chalk will prove it to you. All you're lacking is some natural herbal supplements from Chalk in your veins, and your life is about to change for the better. And I mean every part of your life. You will be better at home. You will be better at work. You'll be better on the weekend. You'll be better on vacation. I've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk for 4 years. They have female vitality stacks. They have something called Armor, which I love. They have Chalk Lit Powder. They have pre-workout known as Chad Mode. Chalk has you covered. Go get a subscription. You're 90 days away from feeling like a new person. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I talk about this European commander's story and the need for hard choices, I'm going to again play a little Marco Rubio. I don't think I've ever played Rubio like this on the show. Here he was.
For five centuries before the end of the Second World War, the West had been expanding. Its missionaries, its pilgrims, its soldiers, its explorers pouring out from its shores to cross oceans, settle new continents, build vast empires extending out across the globe. But in 1945, for the first time since the age of Columbus, it was contracting. Europe was in ruins. Half of it lived behind an iron curtain, and the rest looked like it would soon follow. The great Western empires had entered into terminal decline, accelerated by godless communist revolutions and by anti-colonial uprisings that would transform the world.
Two European commanders warned hard choices are needed from the public on arms spending to deter Russia. Now that the Trump administration is slapping around NATO and saying, you are not meeting your military spending obligations. Your militaries are lacking is honestly being really, really nice. Your militaries, European militaries are pathetic. Post-World War II, the United States of America basically took over the defense of Europe. And that's not over the top. 90% plus of Europe's defense is the United States of America. We have been their defense. Now, I want you to do a little thought/math experiment with me. You ever look at a pie chart of the budget of the United States of America? Doesn't even matter what year. Just go grab a fairly recent pie chart. Just use the old Google machine for it. Look that up. Now, see that little pie you got there? See how much of that pie is military spending? Now, you see the other parts of the pie, I'm sure. Medicare, Social Security. See the other parts of the pie. Medicare, Social Security, those things are what? They're public entitlements. Don't email me whining that I called Social Security an entitlement. I paid into it. I know you did. That's not what I said. It's considered an entitlement. I don't care what you call it. All right? Now, what if you could take the military part of that pie chart out and replace it with other entitlements? What kind of government spending could they be pouring on the American public? Not that I'm a fan of such a thing. That is the life European nations have been living for 70 years. For 70 years, politicians in these countries, Germany, France, UK, all these countries, they have been able to, in essence, ignore that part of the pie chart, the military part of the pie chart, and just pass new bennies, new benefits. Hey, elect me, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. What we need is a new program. Don't you need a program? You want a program, right? We'll send you a check. You won't have to pay. We got a program. Anyone else need a program? You can have a program, and you can have a program. Man, that's fun to run on that, isn't it, as a politician? Elect me, and I'll give you stuff. But now they need a military, or at least they think they do. And of course they do. Every nation does. But now they think it's getting urgent. This was all about Vladimir Putin, by the way. Vladimir Putin. He might come and conquer us. He's an Adolf Hitler. Vladimir Putin could be here. He could be at our doorstep any moment. And so now you have these European commanders. They warn that hard choices are going to be needed from the public, but this is the problem, you see. You can walk yourself into a prison you can't get out of. What European politician can get up now and take benefits away? Benefits the European people have spent 70 years enjoying. What politician can take them away? No, but you don't understand. We need a battleship. The Russians are coming. You don't understand. We need some F-35s. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Let me take away your stuff. Let me tell you. You want to know the most guaranteed way to lose your seat in the United States of America if you're a politician? Stand up and give a speech of any kind criticizing Social Security and your seat in power is gone. The mention of it, gone. You know why I'm sitting here talking to you on the radio and not in the United States House of Representatives? Did you know when I ran for Congress, I lost by 4,000 votes? 4,000 votes. The vote was so close, they, by law, had to take a week to recount all the votes because they thought I might have won. 4,000 votes is the difference between me and Congress and not in Congress. Do you want to know why I lost? Because a significant enough portion of Republicans voted for the Democrat because my opponent at the time, Gabrielle Giffords, ran ads with video of me calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme, which by any definition, it is the largest Ponzi scheme in the world, but she was selling it as Jesse's going to take away your Social Security. Boom. Can't have that guy. I'm voting for the Democrat. Gone. Now, I'm not bitter about it. I'm happy, but here it was.
Is Jesse Kelly listening to you? Was Jesse Kelly listening to you when he said on Social Security, I'd love to eliminate the program? Jesse Kelly said he would work to eliminate Medicare over time. Was he listening to you then? How about when Jesse Kelly said at the same time he'd cut taxes in half for millionaires? Is Jesse Kelly listening to you? Just listen to Jesse Kelly. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
4,000 votes gone, congressional seat gone. You can't take away the bennies now. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. We'll get to a violent violence that follows when you're trying to replace a ruler. We'll make fun of California in a moment. I do owe you some emails, don't I? So let's get to this one here. Bronco, I need advice. Oh, the subject of this one is friend comes out of the closet. My friend, who's been married to a beautiful woman for about 20 years, who he has two kids with, has recently come out as a gay homosexual. He didn't necessarily say he was gay, but he went out to us with a bar and he ordered a dish of ice cream. Chris, I don't want to get these emails anymore, okay? There's nothing. Yes, you did know it was about me, Chris. Yes, you did. I can have ice cream at a bar, okay? There's nothing wrong with having ice cream at a bar. And, you know, Bob and I were just discussing this morning that Lent is coming up. Now, we're not Catholic, all right? We're not Catholic, but we do try to fast for 40 days from something you like, something you do often. And people do a variety of different things. I support whatever you do there. It's personal preference. Like a lot of people do alcohol or something like that, which is a great thing, especially if you're struggling with it. It's kind of a good way to get things kicked off. And I'm thinking about doing sweets. Yeah, I don't mean, you know, a glass of orange juice. I'm thinking about doing candy, dessert, pie, cake, ice cream, that kind of a thing. I don't want to do something like alcohol because I don't struggle with alcohol anymore. It's just not something that I prioritize. It's not something I do often. But I don't think I do sweets enough to make that any kind of a sacrifice. I'm not sure what to fast from. I'm so wonderful that there's... What, Chris? Don't make that face. I'm so wonderful. What could I possibly give up? What, Chris? What? Chris said give up chips. Oh. Oh, man, that's rough. I don't know that I can do that. It's 40 days. What do you mean, how long is it for? Do you seriously not even know? I know you're not Catholic. I'm not Catholic either. Everyone knows how long Lent is for. It's about when Jesus went into the desert, Chris, before you killed him. No, it wasn't a week. It was 40. How do you not know anything at all? It's 40 days. Anyway, no matter what Chris says, I don't know about chips. Why did you have to bring that up, Chris? Thanks a lot. What? What? Chris said specifically potato chips. You can have corn chips. I like both kinds of chips. And that almost feels like cheating if you're allowing one kind of chip. It would be like, I'm giving up ice cream, but only chocolate. You can still have the other kinds. Well, that's cheating. And that's what, Chris? Chris said, for the week, you have to give ounce. I guess that's my problem. I don't want to give anything up that I care about. I want to give up things that I kind of care about. But I don't know if sweets are elevated to even kind of caring about them. I can give up sweets. Chips? That would be like asking me to give up meat or cheese. You know what a cheese freak I am. I don't even know if Jesus would want that for me. I don't want to speak for the... What, Chris? What? Chris said, give up history documentaries. Yeah, Chris, let's make the show worse, right? Yeah, let's make everyone suffer for 40 days because of my fast. You don't even have any good ideas. Jesse, I love the poopy pants story yesterday about Jerry Nadler. I haven't laughed that much since Rush made fun of Al Roker. Can you share the story about you pooping your pants? Why is everyone like this? Okay, it's not a super intricate story. The story goes, if you're a new listener to the show... All right, so let's backtrack a little bit. I moved to Montana when I was 10 years old. It was not my decision. My parents moved to Montana. They dragged my sister and I along. My dad wanted to go find a good construction job in Montana. He wanted to live out west where he could hunt and fish and be in the mountains and things like that. We moved to Montana when I'm 10 years old. I grew up in the mountains. We were always in the mountains. We were by a river. I was always fishing, camping, hunting. That's how I grew up. Our first place was a ski cabin we rented on the side of a mountain. That was a small place. Anyway, I grew up in the mountains. And so my father always had to teach me how you survive in that environment, the do's and don'ts. And this is a very common thing that people think when they don't grow up in the mountains. You think that mountain stream... I'm not even talking about it like a slow river. You get up in the mountains and you'll run into this stream. We're talking about a rock bed on this stream and it's icy cold. And the water it's moving and it's crystal clear. And you look at that stream and you think to yourself, that has to be the cleanest drinking water ever. It has to be basically perfect. And remember, a general rule is the faster the water is moving, the cleaner it is. So just keep that in mind. But so you look at that and you think that has to be the cleanest water ever. But that would be wrong, you see, because animals, especially animals when they're dying of disease. I know everyone's anti-hunting. Never hunt the animals. Well, if you don't hunt them, they die of two ways. Another animal eats them or they die horrific deaths of disease or old age. It's really, really bad. They don't go gently away in a hospital bed. I'll put it that way. And animals dying of disease seek out water for understandable reasons. Then they do what? They die. In the water sometimes. Now you have a diseased animal dead, but you can't see it. You can only see your part of the stream. That animal died a mile up the mountain. It's a whole forest. You can't see that there's a dead animal up there. But there's still problems in the water. One of those problems is Giardia. Giardia. It is a parasite, if you will. Now, fast forward. Now, I grew up and I knew this. I knew this. So you don't just drink out of that stream. You need to boil it. You need to purify it. You need to filter it. You need to do something. Don't just bend down and drink out of the stream. Fast forward to the Marine Corps. We go do mountain warfare training in the Marine Corps. Now, I had had some experience with horses because we used to ride them up into elk camp. Not a bunch. I don't want to act like I'm Marlboro Man or something, but I can ride a horse. I know my way around a horse a little bit. I have experience around horses, and I definitely have experience around the mountains. And so they grabbed a few of us, and they made us go to something called mule packers. I bet you did not know that the United States military still uses mules. Remember, a mule is a mix of a donkey and a horse. It's a long story, but they are unbelievably sure-footed. They can hold more weight than you can imagine, and they are extremely sure-footed. That makes them perfect to be pack animals. Even with all the technology we have today, it's tough to beat a mule. But how do you pack a mule? How do you feed a mule? How do you do? They made us go to this special school called Mule Packers. At the end of the school, they send you into the mountains with your mules, and you are to go survive for a few days feeding your mule and hauling gear around the mountains. I'll finish this highly embarrassing story in just a moment. Before I get to the highly embarrassing story, I want to get to this part, preborn. You see, babies don't have anybody that can advocate for them unless you advocate for them. Babies, unborn babies can't speak for themselves. They can't say, hey, mom, please don't kill me. If mom, covered by lies, if mom decides she wants to kill that baby, you are the only one that can save it. Preborn, they have these clinics. These clinics give free ultrasounds to women who have decided to have an abortion. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. They give it to the women for free. When a woman gets one, she chooses life almost every time. It's from God. When you hear that heartbeat, ain't no clump of cells, is it? It's a baby. They can only do this with your help. It's tax deductible. You give them whatever you want. You give them a buck, give them a buck. We can give them 50 grand, give them 50 grand. Saves the babies. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show, but we'll be back tomorrow. And you can email the show while we're gone, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So the embarrassing poopy pants story continues. I grew up in Montana. I knew you don't drink out of mountain streams. Later on in my life, I joined the United States Marine Corps. We go to a special school called Mountain Warfare Training. And then I get sent out to a special unit called Mule Packers, where you go learn how to pack mules, and then you take them out into the mountains for a few days for some final exercise where you go live out in the mountains and whatnot. Now, again, this was how I grew up. This was, honestly, it was wonderful. I hate to do that back in my day thing, but on Friday or Saturday night, I went home. All my friends went home. And you went and grabbed a gun. And you grabbed a sleeping bag. And you grabbed some food. And you threw it all in your car. And you all knew where you were going to meet. And you drove out to the mountains. And that's just where you spent the weekend. That's what you did. You grabbed a fishing pole. You spent the weekend out there. So I grew up in the mountains. That's how we did it. This was a fun exercise for me. Except the guy who was leading it, the guy in charge of it, he was a sergeant who will remain nameless. He didn't know what he was doing. And it is easy to get lost in the mountains. We get lost. And I forget how long it was supposed to be. I want to say it was 3 or 4 days, but we are lost by the end of the time we're there. And by now we're out of water. We're out of food. So I'm very young at this time. I'm a young Marine, I should say. I'm a very lowly rank. And he hands me these big water jugs, and he says, Kelly, go fill up these water jugs in that stream. And I said, Sergeant, you can't do that. I mean, you have to do, do you have purification tablets? Are we planning on, are we going to boil? You can't do that. I know what I'm doing. I got chewed out. You know, okay. I mean, you don't have the option to say no. Went down, filled up the water. Went back, drank the water. We end up making our way out of the mountains. All's good. It's summertime. I go back to my base in 29 Palms, California, in the middle of the Mojave Desert. We go out for a brutal field op. It was 115 degrees, 120 degrees. It was brutal out in the middle of the desert. Everyone's sweating. We're shooting. We're just doing Marine Corps stuff. This is about 3 weeks after. It takes Giardia a while to kick in. On the final day, we are going to do a shoot, and then we are going to hump 10 miles back to base. It's going to be a brutal hump because of the heat and because everyone's already tired and dehydrated. That day, I got unbelievably sick. Unbelievably sick. Having to run and use the bathroom every minute. It wasn't every 10 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. Every minute, you are so sick, your body is reacting violently, and you have to run and use the bathroom every minute. Would you like to know how dehydrated I was? You know anything about IVs, how people give you IV fluids? And if you sit down to take an IV and you take it down, one down really fast, it's a sign your body is just sucking it up, super dehydrated. Yeah, I took down three fast. When I took down three IVs that fast, my doc, my Navy corpsman, wonderful dude, I still know him, he freaked out and he said, we need to get him to the hospital now. He's not going on any hump. Get him to the hospital now. They threw me in the back of the car. By the way, right about this time is when the incident happened, and I don't have to elaborate on it, and you don't need that, okay? There's no elaboration needed, but there was an incident, okay? Anyway, they threw me in the back of the car, went to the hospital, got some more fluids. Then it ended up working out great in the end, totally worth almost dying, because a couple weeks later, maybe a week later, I don't remember, they were going back out into the field for another miserable field op. My test results came back. Turns out I had Giardia, got it from the mountains. Everyone who was in Mule Packers got Giardia. Surprise, surprise, young Jesse was correct about the whole thing. My roommate was my best friend. Out of caution, they decided to quarantine him and me in our rooms while all of our friends had to go out and sweat and be miserable in the field. We weren't even allowed at the base cafeteria. We had to sit in our rooms and play video games and order Domino's pizza for virtually every single meal. Not allowed outside. They couldn't even make us go work out. They couldn't make us go sweep anything. Sorry, too sick. I'd hate to get anyone else sick. The greatest week in the Marine Corps. What, Chris? Chris said, how much did you milk it after you were clear? Remember, I was a very young Marine at the time. I wasn't even an NCO yet. By the time everyone got back from this brutal field op, there was such a level of bitterness towards me and my roommate that we did not suffer the way they had suffered. We really felt like we were kind of at the end of the rope. And here's the most amazing part. Giardia will hit you and they'll go dormant. And then it'll hit you and then go dormant, hit you and go dormant. For that week, I wasn't even sick. I was taking the pills they had prescribed to kill it, so it was slowly killing it, getting it out of my guts. But for that week, I felt totally fine. I was 100% greatest thing ever. Not just sitting around doing nothing, but knowing all my friends were suffering, warmed my deepest part, the deepest parts of my soul.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
California exodus takes a huge leap forward as citizens flock to Las Vegas to avoid a new tax hike. This is exactly what I mean. When communists get unchecked, when there's nothing stopping them, they can't stop. And they'll just destroy and destroy and destroy and destroy and destroy. And no one will ever stop them. It's amazing to watch it. ICE detention re-engineering plan will expand capacity and speed the deportation of criminal aliens. Yes, remember, the deportation machine has to be built from scratch because for decades in this country, all we've had is an importation machine, essentially a ratchet designed to bring them in and never get them out. If you want to get them out, then we have to build the machine to get them out. It's starting to happen. Democrats still suck at pretending to cook meat on a grill. Abigail Spanberger, the new governor of Virginia, just threw some meat on the grill this weekend, and it's really important for Democrats to stop pretending to be normal. We all know you're not normal, and when you pretend to be normal, it just makes it obvious you're not normal. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.